Have you ever felt that your prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling, going nowhere? Or perhaps you've prayed the same prayer so many times that it's just become mechanical and meaningless. Today, we'll be talking about prayer and how to ask for more. You won't want to miss what our special guest has to share with you today, right here on Revival for Mission. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Pastor Derek Morris is traveling, but we have with us a dynamic guest co-host, Pastor Sam Neves. Sam, welcome. We're so glad you're here. A good friend, someone who's been a pastor in London, England, a dynamic country and city, and a dynamic ministry you had. And now you're working with communications at the world headquarters. Sam, we're glad to have you with us.
It's a fantastic opportunity to be here and to share and talk about mission. And this episode, we'll be talking about revival and reformation. I was a young pastor. In fact, I've noticed I'm still considered young, which I think is a wonderful thing. But at the time, I was much younger. And the General Conference started talking about revival and reformation. And I had to grapple with what that meant then. And so tell us, what's the process of, and what's the importance of revival and reformation?
Revival and reformation is really at the foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is so frenetic, so bombarded with all kinds of stimulating things that detract us from spiritual activity. We have to focus on the things that are really important. Eternal values, biblical values, the Word of God itself. We need to focus on our relationship with the Lord, because the devil is after every one of us to somehow distract us from focusing on that which is going to be our salvation, our connection with Him. So revival is part of growing in the Lord in a more powerful way every day. And when you are revived by the Lord, and only the Holy Spirit can truly revive you, can bring a change in your life, a willingness to submit, a willingness to understand God's role in your life. When you are revived, you don't just sit back and say, well, I guess that's it. I'm okay now. Something has to start changing. And if you're truly revived, it will start changing, because the power of the Holy Spirit will actually begin to soften your life, begin to help you to see the things that are important. And revival and reformation is the foundation of mission, of activity for the Lord, and really of eternal life, understanding our relationship with Jesus, being totally dependent on Him.
Here is what I struggled with, right? Because we've got this idea of mission. Let's focus on mission. And as a young pastor, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And then I have to grapple with the idea of what really matters, the methods that we use to achieve it, and why does the revival process, why is that so important? And it took me a few years to realize that the methods are almost irrelevant. You know, I have a friend who says that our methods are to mission what our works are to salvation. So the methods are irrelevant. It's the power of the Holy Spirit when you are seeking and searching and you open your heart properly.
Exactly.
And this whole language may seem strange to some people that are listening to us, the idea that you're going to open your heart to Christ and what that means. And the thing about revival, it's just like a great dish. And I like food a lot, so it's like a great dish. I can describe it to you, but you have to taste it. Mm-hmm. It is only in tasting it that it will make sense to you.
Right.
And I think revival and reformation is part of this. It's like you can hear about it all your life, the power of prayer. Right. Later we'll be talking to Melody about the power of prayer. And it's easy to hear someone else talk about it. But it's only when you start reading the Bible and you start going through it that you know exactly what it means for yourself. And that has an impact in the church. What is the impact in a local church when many of the members go through this?
Well, and you're alluding to the fact that the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to have this personal relationship. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God was speaking to Solomon. You need to humble yourself, verse 14. You need to pray. You need to seek God's face. Turn from your wicked ways, and then the Lord will hear and forgive and heal. When that happens in a church member's life, when they are involved in a relationship with the Lord, they are then automatically part of mission because the Holy Spirit is working through them and they're part of total member involvement. Everybody doing something for Jesus. Revival and reformation starts it all on the road to mission for the Lord.
Fantastic. We've got two extremes here. We have some churches that are dead. They seem to be dead, like the dry bones, and they need to be revived, if you will. And I've been to some of those churches where you seem to feel the life go out of you as you are experiencing it. And revival and reformation of that is very important. On the other hand, you have churches that are just trying so many different things without the foundation, which is the prayer and the relationship. Why don't you share from the Word of God some thoughts about this?
Well, my dear friends, actually, prayer is one of the most important keys to helping us fully understand what it is that God wants us to do in life. Because in connection with the Lord, the Holy Spirit can impress you through the prayer life that you enjoy. And, you know, in the book of Luke, in fact, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying. He was pouring his heart out. He had this dynamic connection with his Father. And the disciples were watching. They were attuned to what Christ was going through. And it says in the first verse of chapter 11 of Luke, it says that the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And then, of course, what's listed there is the Lord's Prayer. What a dynamic opportunity for us to learn how to pray as the Lord Himself taught His disciples, because the Lord knew it was absolutely vital for their personal connection and for the public ministry that they were going to have in the future. Now, there's a beautiful quotation I want to read to you, and just grasp it now, from Acts of the Apostles, written by Ellen White, page 564. "Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin and the development of Christian character. The divine influences that come in answer to prayer of faith will accomplish in the soul of the suppliant," the one who's asking, "in the soul of the suppliant, all for which he pleads, for the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Christ-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do His work, for any gift He has promised, we may ask, and the promise is, ye shall receive." What a wonderful opportunity to pray. It is the key that unlocks the storehouse of heaven. I know God will bless you as you pray to Him, not just once or twice every day, but pray without ceasing.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. And now we have Melody Mason with us. Melody, you represent prayer. I've been to many events where you've led prayer meetings. I've been blessed by being there, and together reaching out for God and asking for wonderful things. You work at the General Conference headquarters, the ministerial department, and you help to coordinate prayer. But before we get into that, tell us about yourself, your upbringing, your life, and what your desires were when you were younger.
Well, I was raised in a Seventh-day Adventist home, loving, supportive Christian family and parents. I've just been so blessed. My parents really modeled for me what it meant to live genuine Christianity, what it meant to pray. I remember my dad waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying, and what an inspiration that was to me. So I just praise God for that. I had a desire as a child to be a missionary, so kind of set off on that journey. And in that process, I ended up going away to school to Southern Adventist University to become a registered nurse. So I'm heading down the medical field, was planning to do overseas missions, and then God eventually turned the tables and led me to a different area of ministry than I was planning. So
That's interesting beginning.
Yes.
And tell me about this transition then. What area? How did you discover prayer, and you have a deep passion for it? So
basically God just began working in my own life, and I began discovering for myself more who he is and wanting to help other people experience that as well, and seeing him work in my own life just helped me want to share.
Now you're really active in prayer ministry, as Pastor Sam has said. You even have a book on prayer.
Yes.
Daring to Ask for More. I mean, how did all of this prayer focus begin, and why is it so intense in your life?
Well, I went through some difficult experiences. Of course, I had wonderful school years, Adventist education all the way. But I went through some difficult experiences that made me really reevaluate my personal walk with God and my need of a deeper walk with him. And so I came to a point where I'm just like, Lord, I don't want a superficial, mediocre experience with you. I want more. I need a deeper experience. And so I just began opening my Bible and just looking at the promises in Scripture and crying and praying and saying, Lord, I want this in my own life. I want you to take me deeper. And that's really how the whole prayer ministry began. And then, of course,
I'm seeing... Very practical thing.
Yes. Yes. And then I'm seeing him answering my prayers. And then I got involved in prayer ministry, and I'm seeing him heal marriages. I'm seeing him bring children back into the faith and relationships restored. I, you know, have even seen people physically that were struggling, that God answered prayers miraculously. And just seeing the reality of who he is made me even more passionate to want to share this with others. So it's just been an amazing journey.
Now, this whole aspect of daring to ask for more. I mean, I'm going to get the copy of the book here that you wrote. I mean, Divine Keys for Answered Prayer, Daring to Ask for More. Now, What does that really mean? I mean, this challenge to the reader when they look at the cover, daring to ask for more. And do you really think it makes a difference to God if I do ask for more, or even ask, period?
Amen. Amen. Yes, God delights to answer our prayers. And there's a verse in James 4, 2 that says, you have not because you ask not. And then I think a quote from one of my favorite books, The Great Controversy, says, God will grant us an answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not bestow did we not thus ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole vision for the book actually was inspired by a story about Alexander the Great. I heard this story. And Alexander the Great, just in a nutshell, we know he was a mighty conqueror, lived before the time of Christ. And different people, he would invite different people to come to his kingdom, and they could ask him for whatever they wanted. And so this one time, this man came, and he started asking Alexander the Great, you know, for a palace. Well, people are asking for money, for food and clothes and medical things. And so everybody's like, what are you doing asking for a palace? But that request was so impressive to the king. The king said, your request is granted. And why am I granting this request? You know, look at all these things people are asking me for. They think that's all I can do for them. But this man is the first man that has showed who I am as the king, because only I can grant this request.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about this, daring to ask for more. We serve the king of the universe, the one who stretched out the heavens by his great power. There's nothing too hard for him. Why do we settle for the little things. Now, God cares about our keys. He cares about, you know, the food on the table and providing the bills and all these things. But I believe he wants us to ask for a deeper walk in relationship with him. This is not about asking for physical palaces. Mm-hmm. We know those physical palaces will come when we get to heaven. He's preparing mansions for us. But right here and now, he wants to give us a spiritual relationship with him and a depth that you just, the hasty comers and goers don't necessarily receive. And so that's my whole push. Dare to go deeper in your walk with God. Dare to ask for more.
Because we don't ask enough.
That's right.
We don't lean on the Lord enough. We don't implore him enough. How does that, in a practical way, affect people's lives who are engaged in really asking for more? I mean, what demonstration in a person's life can they see where this is just, it's just expanding my world? Do you have to wait for it? Or tell us a little more.
I think he's just waiting, you know, he's just waiting for us to reach out and engage. There's a promise in Jeremiah 29:13 that says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And I just really encourage people to get into God's word. He's given us all these beautiful promises in his word. Claim the promises by faith and just plead and ask God to show you even how to pray. You know, another promise I love is Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And for me in my own personal journey, that's what I started doing. I'm just like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what I should be asking for, but I know that you want your kingdom to be advanced. I know you want to see sin overcome in my own life, and you want to see me be a blessing in ministry, and you want the kingdom to go forward, and of course, the whole revival for mission and involvement on these things. So show me how to pray. And I'm looking for the promises and claiming those as I'm praying, and I'm seeing literally him open doors and work in people's lives like I never imagined.
If somebody who's watching right now says, you know, my prayer life is pretty negligible. Mm-hmm. I pray for my food. Mm-hmm. And I might pray before I go to sleep. How would you tell somebody how to get started in a more dynamic prayer life? So it isn't just kind of, well, I can check that off the list and this, you know, and it becomes more of a way of life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What would you suggest to somebody?
I just encourage people, first off, to remember that God is waiting. He's more eager to talk with us and commune with us. Even he's just waiting. And when I tell him as I go to sleep at night, Lord, wake me up. And I give you permission to wake me up in the morning. And when I give him permission, he wakes me up as soon as I gave him permission to give me up. He does not waste a moment, but just Lord, wake me up. Show me how to get into your word. I really encourage people to actually get into the promises. And something that I've actually developed to help with this is a set of prayer and promise cards, praying the word of God. And this actually teaches people how to pray the word of God, because we need faith in the God that we're praying to. So we need to ask that he will increase our faith. And as we get into the word, he increases it. There's another beautiful quote from Steps to Christ. I think it's page 94 that says, prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where I treasure the boundless resources of omnipotence. And so if prayer is the key in the hand of faith, we put the key, this is prayer, but the key does not turn unless we have faith. And how do we get faith? Faith comes from the word. So I just encourage people, get into the word of God, take those promises, make them personal, and start praying them back to him. And just ask God, search my heart. You know, if there's any sin, if there's any iniquity, if there's any compromise between me and you, show me what that is. Because we are told that our iniquities separate us from God. Our sin separates us from God. And so we need to be praying that God will remove those things. But then just get into the word, start praying the promises, and he will bring it.
He
will
bring it to life. Let me have a look. What is this called?
Prayer and promise cards.
How does it work?
So one side of the card is a prayer, and on the other side of the word, or on the other side of the card, will be some type of promise.
Okay, so this one says, I praise you, Lord, that we can claim your word boldly, for you stand back
of every promise you have made. So many times we don't have because we don't ask. James 4:2. Teach us what it means to pray with our Bible in our hands and to trust in your word. Then on the other side.
On the other side, there'll be probably a
quote. Uh-huh. Here is from Christ Object Lessons. Uh-huh. God stands back of every promise he has ever made. And then the quote. And so with this, you can keep this with you.
Sure.
And you pick it up and you read. And if people want to find out about this, if you're at home and you say, I need this in my life, then go to revivalformission.tv and you'll find out how to do this. At one point, I think I was in a boarding school in England. I was often very bored with my prayers because they were always repetitive. And I knew I had a big problem because it was just what you described, Pastor. You know, you would eat, dear God, thank you for this food. May you do our bodies good. In your name, amen. And then, you know, that would be it throughout the day. And I remember going to bed once, and that's exactly what I did. God, thank you for this food. And I realized that I'm praying for the food as I'm sleeping, that it no longer means anything.
Yes.
It's just a meaningless ritual that we go through. And so tools like this and books and resources that help us to revive that are really important, because I don't think it's possible for you to have a relationship with God, with Jesus, without prayer.
That's right. It's the breath of the soul. This is not just, you know, prayer is not just a magic key to get from God what we want. Prayer is the breath of the soul to us staying alive. And we're not going to be alive spiritually if we're not praying.
Right.
And if we're not in God's word, the two work together. The word gives fuel to the prayers.
Before Pastor Sam talks to you a little bit about more resources and that kind of thing, there's a beautiful text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's in a series of good advice for Christian living and for staying close to the Lord. But there's one verse 17, pray without ceasing. Mm. Now, I know in my own personal life, I'm talking to the Lord a lot during the day, maybe during a committee, or I'm even talking with someone in my office and whatever it is. I can send these little prayers to heaven. Lord, help me in this. Go before us. Open the way. I mean, in the morning, I'll ask the Lord to make sure that things happen according to his will, let's say, or that he'll help us in a situation, mm-hmm. essentially. But what do you think it means, pray without ceasing? And then I know Sam wants to talk to you about resources.
I just think it's part of the abiding experience that God has called us to have, to walk with him like Enoch walked. It's not something you just do in the morning and you check it off your list. No, we are continually, as we go through the day, uplifting our heart to God, just like you said. You know, the same thing with me, and I'm praying, Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me wisdom here. So it's that abiding experience. Of course, it starts in the morning with your personal quiet time with God, where you're spending significant time with him, but then you walk with him as you go through your day.
Amen.
Clearly, Melody, you've had years of experience in this, and some of our viewers are only beginning their journey. So when we talk about a closer walk with Christ and abiding with him, it may not mean much to them. Where can they start with the literature to understand some of those concepts more, and what are the resources that are available to them?
Well, we have I have two books here, Daring to Ask for More. This is the full version, and this actually gives tools to just help people start at the basics, how to grow their prayer life and their walk with God. We have a sharing version of Daring to Ask for More as well, and this is more for evangelistic purposes, just to share far and wide, and this is a very condensed version. So these are a couple resources. We also have a lot of resources on revival and reformation.org. One of the things I work with at the General Conference, many resources to grow your time in the Word and prayer and Bible study. And the prayer and promise cards can be downloaded there as well.
Melody, thank you so much for joining us here. You have been watching Revival for Mission. Go to revivalformission.tv to find these resources and more. Don't go away. In a few moments, we come back to answer your Bible questions or your questions from the Bible. See you soon.
I know I'm looking for something, but what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know, it's going to take faith.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Did you know that you could go to revivalformission.tv and ask your questions? And we get to answer those questions from the Word of God in this part of the program. Now, I have one question here. The person asked, when I was a kid, I memorized the Lord's Prayer. Is that a prayer I can still pray today, or would God rather have me pray my own prayers?
Well, first of all, the Lord's Prayer that you can find in Matthew chapter 6 or in Luke chapter 11 is a marvelous prayer. It has a pattern. It gives us the elements of what a prayer should be like. So you can pray the Lord's Prayer, absolutely. We do that many times in a large gathering. At the end of a prayer, people will pray that. But the Lord wants you to talk to Him like He's a friend. And it's not as though you have to do something greatly formal and all that. Just pray to the Lord and open your heart as you pray. You can ask for things. You can thank Him for things. You can share concerns. You can praise Him for things. And then remember that He will answer you. So prayer has to be like I'm talking to you, Pastor Sam. It's just an opening of our heart. And absolutely, you can use the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord wants to hear your inner heart as well.
I was doing a week of prayer. It's a youth week of prayer in a school. And, you know, at the end, the young people come and talk. And one young lady came and said, I cannot pray. Well, explain to me what's happening. My prayers just end within a minute. They're done. And there is nothing else that I can say, at best 5 minutes. And I immediately asked, tell me about your father. Well, he travels a lot. Okay, so tell me about the conversations you have with him. Well, they last for about a minute or maximum of five. To some people, Pastor, to hear that God of the universe can stop and hear my prayers and my conversations with Him as a friend is so unfathomable, because their father, their parents, they didn't give them that level of attention. But still true that God does hear, whether they perceive it or not. And the Bible is full of those stories.
Absolutely.
About that. In fact, that's the next question. Does God hear our prayers? I've been praying to Him for a long time, but I wonder if He really hears, because He's just not answering.
Well, in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us to pray, and God hears our prayers. The actual response to those prayers is something that comes in different ways, and it may not be exactly as you want it. But I want to assure our viewers that God will hear their prayers. I mean, God has answered many prayers in my life. I remember one time I was wandering in the mountains and the fog was coming down. There was snow. I was ill prepared. And I began to sing the song, God will take care of you. And I was obviously praying earnestly, Lord, take care of me. I don't want to be lost in the mountains. And the Lord eventually opened things up and I found relief. God will hear your prayers. He absolutely is listening, and it's just such a privilege to pray every day.
We could be talking for a very long time about the answers to prayers that we've had and we've heard. And we also have experiences where we prayed earnestly and it seemed that God said no and did not adhere to what we were asking. All that is possible. Why don't you close us off with some thoughts about prayer?
Well, friends, I hope during today's program you've been encouraged to pray. And not just to pray the same old prayers, but to pray with your whole heart, daring to ask for more. God wants you to share your thoughts with Him. He will hear, and He will answer in His own time and His own way. Stay close to Him. And we'll see you next time right here on Revival for Mission.